Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Cindera Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her once again. And that is H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcast session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. Tonight's topic is going to be about the flight or fight response in relationships with obstacles. Okay, so without further ado, we're going to get right to the gist of this show of fight and flight. Basically, a lot of times, when people do come up against challenges in their relationship or just in general, something that's just taking them off course and things of that sort, what happens is that people give a fight response. So in other words, flight is basically a person running away from the situation and not really, you know, dealing with the situation head on or accordingly. And then you have some people who immediately get defensive or just offended, and they resort to actually fighting, or just even in a disagreement with relationships. A lot of times people will fight. Arguments is a part of fighting, because arguments is just, you know, a person being defensive and trying to fend for themselves and just to be heard. So a lot of times that happens, you know. Sometimes it may not just be a physical altercation, but there can be an exchange of words that may be insulting to the other person and things of that sort, and that's just all in response to fighting. Okay, so I wanted to talk about emotional intelligence. And I wanted to talk about it just basically being the pinnacle of a relationship, and two people being able to maintain that at all costs, even if there has to be a moment to where it may be a high intense impact in a relationship and both parties are not able to actually talk to each other or be able to be in each other's presence for whatever reason, because of, you know, maybe both parties may be upset and they may not be able to have a healthy conversation without dealing with their emotions first and then coming back to the situation to resolve it, you know. So when I talk about emotional intelligence, I want to talk about the stable and healthy aspect of the relationship, to whereas if it gets to a point where there's a high intense impact and both of you are just too, like, just, you know, can't stand each other or can't be in each other's presence or whatever the case might be, but you know that there's a pending issue that needs to be resolved at hand. So the best thing to do is to, you know, suggest the later time to speak with each other, you know, because of whatever the discord or whatever the situation may be, and to come back to the conversation with a more level and calm head, you know. So this is what can actually help maintain a relationship. And I really do think and believe that, you know, having that aspect when both parties, you know, resort to having a logical, you know, disagreement, not argument, but disagreement with each other, and being able to resolve an issue without it being perpetuating more issues on top of another, you know. So basically, when you allow your partner to take the time out to resolve whatever it is that they're going through, whatever, you have to be able to deal with the situation immediately. So you might want to say, you know, give me a couple of hours and we could talk about this. Or sometimes it might take a whole week where a person needs to be in their thoughts to think things through in its entirety and then be able to come back, you know, one-on-one with the person to speak with them. But to have that situation prolonged longer than a couple of hours or just a week in itself, you know, that it causes the relationship to be in danger when you don't deal with the issue right away, or when you disregard or invalidate another person's problems or issue and you don't acknowledge it, because those things can actually fester and turn into other things in the relationship that may cause or bring on resentment. And that's not really good when being able to manage a relationship. So I would say, if you are married, you are a married couple, and although I know that I'm not married, or whatever the case might be, but if you are married, you know that you have to see that person's face. And I really think that a husband and wife should not go to bed in discord or being angry at each other. For whatever reason, you shouldn't do it. Whatever is the issue, it needs to be acknowledged at least. Even if you're not gonna deal with the situation right then and there, the problem needs to be acknowledged and then schedule for another date to talk about it, to resolve the issue, to where people, you know, both parties could be comfortable dealing with the emotional aspect, because sometimes people need time to assess their emotions, assess, you know, what made them upset, and then come back to reiterate the situation, opposed to taking the fight response where they get defensive and want to fight because they feel violated in some type of way. A lot of times, not to go off tangents, but people misconstrue things, or because of how things look on the outside perceptively, and this is what makes them want to take the fight response. And in addition to that, their inability to communicate or articulate themselves in a way of how they felt violated. So a lot of times people take fight, you know, as a response to a situation when you could take hold of it. And if you have to take flight, but take flight in a way whereas it's going to be in a copacetic situation where you dealing with your emotions, dealing with the problems, and then coming back together. So husband, wives, if you are out there, do not go to bed. It even says, you know, in the parable, don't let the sun go down without resolving whatever issue or conflict you have with each other. I don't care how embarrassing, I don't care how uncomfortable it is. Just speak to your husband or wife and acknowledge it. Just bring it to the table and say, listen, I know XYZ. Can we have a further conversation about this at a later date about this? I don't want it to let fester or go on or be swept under the rug as insignificant. I want to work on this, you know? And I feel like if you are able to do that, that will keep a lot of relationships and marriages together. Now, if you are just in a typical relationship, you might want to be able to give that person a cue to let them know that, okay, you know, you're not trying to be disrespectful or anything like that, but you might need time, space and time just to think things through and then to come back to, you know, the situation and resolve the, you know, things similar to how married couple will do. But only difference is that, you know, you and this person can agree to disagree with each other on certain things. And if you choose to compromise with each other and have a middle ground as far as what you would accept, what you wouldn't accept, what you like, what you dislike, just on a typical couple relationship, then that's also feasible as well. And I really do feel as though when people can take the time out to assess their emotions, assess the situation, and like adults, come back to discuss the situation and not argue, but to discuss it on a level head and come to a resolution, which is a beautiful thing and is an example of both parties having a level of an emotional intelligence when dealing with each other and interacting with each other. Okay? So, moving along to overcoming obstacles. A lot of times, obstacles can be resolved by just being able to understand the person's view first, opposed to coming up with assumptions of what you think things are perceived. Sometimes it is worth giving a person the benefit of the doubt and being positively optimistic, opposed to being negatively pessimistic about a situation. Okay, so basically, people who are not able to overcome obstacles, it's usually because of their inability to move on in a relationship. You know, a lot of times, as I spoke in my last show, people are just get stuck in a situation or stuck in a certain mind frame or whatever offense took place, and they don't know how to let it go or move along. And sometimes, you know, that obstacle can, you know, fester and build into other things. Some people just let it be doormat and never deal with the situation because they numb their emotions, you know. But at some point in times, you know, people have to acknowledge it. Even if you don't acknowledge it and resolve it with the other party who may have caused the offense or caused you to be defensive, you have to, as an individual, be able to be willing to forgive yourself and to be able to heal from the situation, opposed to letting it fester and being an open wound. Okay, so it's always good to be able to not stay stuck for too long, but to learn how to repair your wounds. In other words, basically deal with the situation accordingly, to take the time if you need to get those emotions out, such as being angry, you know. Some people might channel it through exercising or going through some place and just screaming where it's a soundproof wall, and you know, some people resort to doing that. A lot of times, like I said, exercising is more therapeutic. People going on a jog or whatever the case might be, just to assess their, you know, internal emotions. Another factor, some people may talk to a therapist or someone to get out their emotions or whatever it is that they're going through. Whatever that is going to be more comfortable for you to be able to start the process of moving on and not staying stuck is what's going to be conducive and productive for your growth in the future. Okay, another aspect is allowing the past to interfere or conflict with present and future relationships. As I said before too, that people not being able to let bygones be bygones. In other words, if you dealt with the situation accordingly like adults and you said we're not going to come back to this because we resolved this issue, but yet and still the person is still bringing up your past and things that you're doing because they feel that the prior situation has something to do with another occurrence that may have happened that may be similar or whatever the case might be. I feel that every situation should be treated anew, okay? Every situation. And I feel that no two parties should be able to assume anything because, like I said, my mom always told me that if you assume, you make an ass out yourself. So in every situation, no matter how much it may seem similar or whatever the case might be, going back to being positively optimistic and giving the person the benefit of the doubt, no matter how similar the situation is, you have to deal with it as a new case, a new situation, and leave the past relevance alone. Like whatever was done in the past and resolved or whatever the case might be should be left in the past. Now, the only way that something in the past can be relevant to the present is if it was never resolved right then and there or acknowledged at that point in time, and you bring it up and you might want to highlight to the person, listen, this is not the first time you doing this, one of those situations, and then you recall an event that happened that's similar to what they have done. So sometimes people in relationship give a person one time, two times, and the third time when they see a similar situation, they may not say anything the first two times, but if they see it a third time, then sometimes couples do, they might say something, especially when they do care about the other person, they really love and care about them, they would say it for a third time. So sometimes that's the only case, or that's more prevalent to use whatever that was in the past and bring it to the table right then and there. As much as the person would say, well, why you didn't say anything then, or why you didn't say anything that, you just tell them, listen, I was just trying to give the benefit of the doubt to see XYZ, you know, and I feel like this is the third time, and this is why I'm bringing it to your attention. So that way you have a recollection of events that took place that's similar, so that person could say, oh no, I didn't remember, or no, this didn't happen. So that's also a healthy aspect and way to resolve an issue, because you can show the person that it was a reoccurring offense or something that they've done in the past, but you as an adult, you try not to pay much attention to it, but you took note of it and now you're bringing it to their attention, point blank. But I would say it's a no-go, no-no, when you had a conversation with the person and y'all resolved the issue and you bringing it back up again. That's not healthy for the relationship at all, because you want to be able to welcome the forgive and forget in your relationship. Forgive and forget meaning let it be done if it was resolved on good terms, or whatever the case might be. If you as a person, if you feel that the underlining issue is because you don't trust the person, then that feeling, you need to say that and articulate that and not bring a situation or a scenario to as a disguise of you feeling either distrustful of the person or insecure. Don't do that. Tell the person directly, listen, I feel insecure because of XYZ. I don't want to keep bringing up the past because of, or using it as a disguise of what I feel, but I feel insecure because of so XYZ, or I don't trust you because of so and so, and I don't think that, you know, being with someone that you can't trust is a healthy thing. It's either you want to work on it or you don't want to work on it. So if you know that you're feeling distrustful of a person and you want to work on it, you need to articulate that. If you don't want to work on it and you feel that person don't respect you, period, and they keep doing the same thing disregarding your feelings and everything of that sort, then you need to move along. Okay, because you can't be with somebody that you don't trust and someone who don't respect you at all. You have to close that chapter and move along. You have to. Okay, and this is how you overcome an obstacle. Another aspect is valuing other people's opinion over your life and relationships. Sometimes, you know, this can prevent people from overcoming obstacles. When you value someone else's opinion and judgment over your situation, and you can't really resolve or think things through yourself, and you value the opinion of other people, you cause people to come inside your relationships or just in your life and rule over your life and doing all of these things because you allowing these things and because you showing that you value another person's opinion over yours or your partner's opinion that you're with. And that just shows a blatant disrespect, not only to yourself, but to your partner who you're with, when you allowing other people to come into your relationship or have an opinion of your relationship and you valuing it. When you want to get advice or get suggestion from somebody else, you need to let them say whatever they say and leave it on the table, but you don't bring it and include it inside of your relationship with the person, because it's going to cause a conflict of interest. Now, if you need someone to mediate between you two, then it needs to be articulated that it's you and another person and a third party who can get both parts of each other's views, and then y'all have a conversation to talk things through. That's the only time you can actually include someone who you feel that you value. It could be a mother, it could be a father, it can be someone of a religious background or some a therapist, you know, going to marriage therapy or whatever the case might be, or some things of that sort. Sometimes a third party need to be involved to get both parties' views from the outside, you know, of the situation, like get an assessment of the outside, you know, being an outsider looking in on a situation. That's sometimes that's needed. One thing I would say that I did in my prior relationships, is that a lot of times because, you know, my former partner who I was with, we will always have an argument or a disagreement, I would say. And a lot of times he just wanted to be heard and I wanted to be heard. So I said, you know what, listen, you know, I'm always accused of not listening. Like you saying that I don't listen. And it's at the third, you know, and then I always feel that this person always misunderstands me and don't really acknowledge the situation accordingly. So basically, he has his mindset. I have my mindset. So I said, you know what we need to do? Since you saying that I don't listen or whatever the case might be, let's have a 10-minute interval break to where as you explain yourself, say whatever it is that you need to say for 10 minutes and I won't say nothing. I'll keep my mouth shut and hear everything that you need to say in its entirety and then let it be my turn. Because a lot of times what happens is that the person could talk and you can't get anything in, and then it's like, oh, see, you don't listen or you don't let me be able to speak. So to avoid all of that, to bump all of that, that's what I have recommended. And we did it one time and it helped to resolve an issue because he was able to say what he needed to say for 10 minutes. I needed to say what I needed to say for 10 minutes. And, you know, it was a common understanding where, you know, it was no friction, but we were able to understand what the issue was or what the problem was. And then we resolved it, you know, and then we just kept that mechanism, you know, up and practice that. And it was really healthy for the relationship at the time. And I feel that it had a lot to do with minute little issues that may have taken place, you know, just cracking down on. So a lot of times that was healthy for the relationship aspect. And like I said, it was really for minor things that we didn't just sweep under the rug or try to invalidate each other's feelings or a situation that took place. So that was a good mechanism. And something that I do is that I noticed that a lot of times people like to project sometimes their issues on another person. So now, you know, now and looking back, maybe it could have possibly been that maybe they weren't listening to what I was saying or whatever the case might be. And, you know, because I kept trying to get my point across or whatever the case might be, it came off as if I wasn't listening to them when they could have been projecting their view on me, you know, view or of not listening or me being heard or whatever the case might be. So just to sum up everything, I think that's a good thing. Even if you get like a timer, a cooking timer, although we use the phone, but a cooking timer, you just put it for 10 minutes and you just listen, really listen to what the issue is with your partner, even if you don't even want to hear it. And it's just sound like a bunch of static, like just still, you know, be patient enough to hear what it is, because you just might find out what's the underlying issue. Because a lot of times couples will argue back and forth and just argue about trivial things, and it's not the underlying issue or what's, you know, bothering them. Because sometimes it could just be that they hurt. And you know how when a baby, let's say a baby, when a baby needed diapers change or whatever the case might be, or want to eat, it always cry. So sometimes, you know, in a relationship, it could be like that. Like the person is just a little baby, but they crying because they want to eat, or they crying because they need they diaper change. So in other words, what I'm saying to everyone is that as an adult, you know, people might just be saying one thing on the surface or just crying, like bickering or complaining about something, but it's an underlying pressing issue that needs to be highlighted and acknowledged and then resolved. So a lot of times, going back to the baby dynamic, you change the baby diaper, you feed the baby, they be all fine and okay, and then everything is all good again, you know? Okay, so another lasting part that causes couples to prevent overcoming obstacles is when too many people are involved in your relationship or connection, and it causes a division, separation, strife, or discord in the relationship. So this is more of a cause and effect. Even as I briefly mentioned when I said that, you know, when you value the opinion of another person over your partner, this is what people do. Some people may idolize your relationship so much so that they end up destroying whatever connection or relationship you have with the person and causing you to think all of these negative things and assume all of these negative things about your partner, and then end up causing a division between you two, causing y'all to go against each other or to be separated. Whereas, you know, y'all can't stand each other. Y'all don't like to be in each other's presence because the soul is so forced, and, you know, whatever the case might be. And then it's a developing strife and discord. All of those things are not healthy for the relationship. And it can all be because of someone who is coveting after your relationship, someone who's jealous of either your husband or wife, someone who just want what you have and they want to destroy it because they're not happy and they don't want you to be happy in your relationship. So a lot of times that happens, and that can perpetuate both parties overcoming any obstacles in a healthy manner. You know, when you are a husband and a wife, or you a couple just in general, y'all need to be each other's best friends. Even when y'all can't even stand to be in each other's presence, and be able to still articulate yourself and communicate with each other without fighting or just running away from an issue. You understand? You need to have something to where, as you know, if y'all need to take time out to deal with the situation separately and then come back together, then you do that. But do not include other people in your relationship by valuing their opinion over what you go through, because at the end of the day, you know, you deal with that person behind closed doors. It's not you, and then, you know, it's the husband and the wife. It's not the husband and the wife and the mother there in the bed or whatever the case might be, or behind closed doors. It's just you, husband and wife, behind closed doors, and it's not the mother, father, or anybody else, friends and family, co-workers, or whatever the case might be in that bedroom with you. So this is why you need to keep whatever out the home, out of the bedroom. You need to keep all of everything, all of that strife, that separation, that confusion, all of that outside the bedroom, because it's not going to be conducive to the relationship at all. Okay, so now moving along to reconciliation on being on the horizon. So basically, reconciliation, I would say that, you know, people who are married, but they're separated, right? People who are married, but separated, I feel that even though there are certain boundaries, even in that separation, y'all may not be intimate with each other. That may be an agreement, but you go on a series of dates with each other as far as having a conversation to repair whatever had taken place and, you know, getting to like each other all over again during that separation period. You should not be married to someone and separated and y'all living in two different households. That's one. Two, you should not be married. And this is just my opinion. And even if you choose to live in two different households, but y'all just caring about what y'all like and just doing what you want to do and then having a second relationship on the side, that is not healthy for the dynamic of your relationship. If it's supposed to be between you and that person, y'all supposed to be just taking time to repair the relationship and not just be so interested in what you like and what you want. You know, something that's going to bring satisfaction and pleasure separately from each other, that shouldn't be. Because what ends up happening is that y'all begin to lose sight of whatever the what needed to be repaired in the relationship or what needed to be resolved. So you lose sight of that, and then it's just almost as if the two of you become strangers to each other, and you don't want that. What needs to happen is that even if there's a separation, you know, and, you know, whatever the case might be, whoever moves out or whatever the case might be, and y'all still trying to hold on to repair the relationship, y'all need to go on a series of dates. You should be able to still speak to each other, still talk to each other, and still be able to keep focus on, you know, healing the relationship together, and then not just being an individual thing. And just know that, no, sex is not gonna just resolve everything and everything be okay. No, if you really love and care about that person's well-being, you'll think about the consequences to how it may have jeopardized, you know, your relationship or whatever the case might be. You'll deal with all of those things, but you'll deal with all of those things together and resolve it together. Okay, so my thing is just when both of y'all can be able to face the challenges and hardships in the relationship head on and don't sweep things under the rug, it's like you're on a good, you're on the right track, okay? You're on the right track of the relationship being healthy and conducive for the future and how y'all will communicate and get along with each other and make your bond stronger between each other. Okay, and then going through a self-reflection period in a relationship, sometimes that may need to take place where you assess in the relationship and you saying to yourself, you know, some people might weigh the good over the bad and vice versa, and just, you know, try to fall back in love with the person again. Find out the things that you love and appreciate about them opposed to the things that you don't like or don't, you know, approve of as far as them doing and you don't appreciate. You know, think about the opposite of it and try to find something that what you feel that you can appreciate the person for, and then learn to, you know, get to know them again, learn to fall in love with them again. And most of all, what's most important is you understanding and loving yourself first. That's what's most important. Okay, then moving along to a non-progressive relationship and what that looked like. A non-progressive relationship that needs to just end is when you find that the person lack emotional intelligence, whereas they can't articulate themselves and they think that arguing and fighting is the only thing that can help resolve it, and they say, oh, okay, but we had a fight, we had a falling out, and this, that, the third, and then all of a sudden they coming back together. To me, I will look at that person like cat shit. Like, are you crazy? We just fought, we just fight, or whatever the case might be, and then you're gonna come to me two hours or an hour later, all normal and shit. Excuse my language. Like, no. That, to me, that is so unhealthy, and it does not warrant emotional intelligence at all. Okay, a person losing it, and then all of a sudden, hour or two later, they all calm and nice. Like, no, you just said so-and-so, and we just argue, we just fight, and we did all of this, and now you are fine. No, something is wrong with that, and that's just my opinion, people. But it just shows a lack of emotional intelligence when you cannot articulate yourself verbally and be able to explain whatever it is that, you know, is causing the discord or disagreement between the two parties. Another example of a non-progressive relationship is when there's a lack of control. A lack of control, whereas both parties can't even control the relationship anymore because one person want to go one way and the other person want to go their way. And it's either, it sucks into this paradigm of it's either my way or the highway kind of mentality. And that causes a non-progressive relationship. Another thing I do not like, or I would like to highlight, is that when both couples turn a blind eye to the big fat elephant in relationship, and they don't, like, it's there, how could you ignore it, you know, and just act like it's not an issue. Like, don't do that, because it's like trying to be wrong and strong, and you see something is wrong and you're not saying something, That's not good. It causes a non-progressive relationship, because guess what? If it's something that took place and you didn't speak up about it, eventually what's going to happen, that emotion is going to turn into resentment. And when that emotion turns into resentment, it turns into hate. It turns into all of these other things, to where you just don't like the person just existing anymore. And that's not healthy, period. I feel like before things escalate into a major thing, I always feel that in relationships, you always see or get to see a red flag. You know, a red flag that the person might do something that they might say and it just doesn't make sense. Those red flags are indications for you to pay attention to and not to turn a blind eye to and just think that, oh, it's nothing. No, you have to say something. You have to speak up about it. Okay, if you let it fester and you let it build, it's going to turn into something ugly and nasty if you don't deal with the situation accordingly. So, for example, I give a prime example. Okay, a couple, you know, in a relationship, they living together, whatever the case might be. And then let's say, you know, everything seems to be going cool in the home. And everything seems to be fine. Everything's all copacetic or whatever. And then let's say you might have your girlfriend or whomever might look through your phone and secretly going through the guy's phone and seeing that he's speaking to other women. He got pictures of other women, you know, maybe nude or naked or whatever the case might be. But just seeing all unwelcoming things that, you know, that they feel that is considered cheating. It's almost like their curiosity kills the cat. This is what the woman do, right? So she's going into his thing unwantedly, you know, knowing that that's not what you're supposed to do, period. You're not supposed to be going through anybody's stuff, but let's say that happens, okay? So she gets all of this information about who the person is, this, that, the third, get down the number and everything, and the guy may not know nothing about it. You know, but let's say little things here and there, she might act like everything is all normal. You're living together. She'll still give you your food and everything, but it won't, you, the love or the reaction may be a little off. And because, you know, some men be so into what they doing, they might not even notice the slightest difference in the woman or whatever the case might be, but she's still doing things normal, whatever that you automatically expect, until the third time it happens and you like, okay, something is not right. Okay, something is not right. Yeah, she gave me the food and everything, but I know that there's an underlying issue. And you men, y'all know y'all have that feeling. Y'all know when something is not right. And even though the woman, she could be, you know, let's say another scenario. After the third time, she's in the kitchen, she's banging stuff. And like, you know how you men get, like, what the hell is wrong with her? You know, she banging stuff around. You go to her, you say, honey, are you okay? Or what's wrong? And they saying, yes, I'm okay. But they still banging stuff on the, on inside the kitchen and stuff like that. And you like, this is not normal. And you saying to yourself, no, something is, you know, going on, but you don't know what it is. But it all stemmed from her. 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, going through your phone and finding information that she wasn't supposed to. So now, because she can't articulate herself, she's doing all of this so to create an issue when there is no issue, but creating the issue. And it gets to a point where, let's say you say to her, you get offended, like, yo, you banging stuff on the thing and this doesn't make any sense. You are in your logical and practical mindset as a guy when you address it to her, but because she's not in her practical mindset, she has an underlying issue, she's going to automatically want to fight and get defensive with you because you saying something that's logical and practical to what she's doing as far as her behavior, if that makes sense. So after you assess her issue, whatever the case might be, she gets tremendously, like, she goes from zero, from saying, no, I'm okay, to all the way to 10. You say something to her, she get defensive and wanting to fight you and argue. You're like, where is this coming from? What is her problem? So, of course, she look like cat shit to you because you, like, you don't know what the hell is going on or what's the problem is, you know? So let's say that all stems to that boiling point, all stems to, you know what the underlying issue is because of her going through your phone. Now she don't even know how to address the situation that she went through your phone. But because she don't have no emotional intelligence, she's going to tell on herself. She's going to tell on herself and say little things here and there where you realize that, oh, shit, you know, she's going through my phone and this, that, the third. You know that that's an automatic violation. No two adults should be looking through each other's phone, period, because y'all are an adult and that is your property. That's not the other person's property to be going through or to be snooping and diving in. They shouldn't be doing that, point blank, period. I don't care if you are a husband or a wife. You shouldn't do that. You should, because it's a blatant disrespect to the other person and it's a violation, okay, of the relationship just in general, okay? And it shows that you don't have no respect or just in any type of control in the relationship, period. So going back to that situation, she's telling on herself and you like, damn, why did you go through my phone in the first place? Why did you even look through this thing in the first place? And they stuck. They don't know what to say other than the fact, oh, no, you cheated. You this, you that. Now it's like you don't even give a shit at this point because they violated you and you don't care. So it's like at that point for you women that go through those situations like that, you need to develop emotional intelligence. That's one. And that whole thing, curiosity killing the cat, that's what actually happened. You caused yourself to be killed because not only that you caused the lack of distrust in the relationship, now you causing that man to look at you different as far as looking at you like crazy, like cat shit, and you causing him to look at you as like, you know, you can't be trusted. So now you welcomed in to your relationship or your marriage distrust, and now you can't get over that because now you're gonna feel every time in the back of your mind that when he's doing something the whole way, that he's talking to somebody else, he's in bed with somebody else, he's doing all of these things, because guess what? You didn't resolve the issue from day one when it happened. When it happened, or whatever issue you was feeling as far as feeling insecure, or whatever the case might be, and you letting things fester and not dealing with it accordingly. Not understanding the principle of a relationship, what's right and wrong, and what boundaries are you crossing. When you as a woman, you don't acknowledge that, you cause a destructive aspect to happen in your relationship. You cause that to happen. You cause a division in your relationship to happen when you do that. Okay, so my whole thing is this. If you don't trust somebody, you don't need to be with them. If you have insecurities, you need to take time for yourself and develop love for yourself and not look for the other person to be responsible for loving you. Okay, it's your responsibility to love you, to find your happiness, to find what makes you happy and be responsible and accountable for you. Forget about the other person and what they're doing, because guess what? The problem is not with the other person externally. The problem is with you. Because if you in a series of relationship and you always accusing the guy of cheating all the time, then you are the common denominator of it all. Okay? And that's not good. Something needs to change with you. Okay? Because if you feel that trust is always an issue, do you trust yourself? Do you trust yourself not to cross a boundary? Do you trust yourself enough to say that, okay, I'm setting standards and boundaries for myself that I'm not going to cross? Do you trust yourself enough to say that you're not going to betray your own self? Okay? So that's like shooting yourself in the head when you going through another guy's stuff, you going through his phone, you trying to be an investigator and then trying to take control of the relationship. That's just a dead end street, and that you won't have no relationship, period, with any man, period, if that's how you're going to carry on in a relationship and feel that you are entitled and you need things to be a certain way. You're just going to be all alone and by yourself. And even if you are in a situationship with the guy, that guy already made up in his mind he don't want to be with you, period. Because he already think that you're crazy. Okay? Really crazy and off. Your marbles is off. And I'm just saying, you know, hypothetically. Okay? So now moving along to the fact of not a non-progressive relationship, as I mentioned before, is keeping someone trapped inside of a bubble and not non-conducive to their growth and direction in life. So another aspect of that is when, you know, you have guys, you know, you have a woman and, you know, just like how I highlighted with a woman being crazy as cat shit sometimes, you know, you men could be control freaks. Control freaks to the point to whereas you don't want no man, you know, talking to your woman or, you know, touching her or complimenting her or any of that, you know, without you thinking that he wants to try to hit it or he wants to try to do this to her or this, that, the third. Like, if you always keep thinking that in your head that, oh, he's trying to do that, and, you know, you have these underlying insecurities as a man, and as a result, you telling your woman what she could wear, what she can't wear, how she need to present herself, how she need to this, that, the third, or whatever the case might be, you causing that woman to be stifled. And when you cause a woman to be stifled, you cause her hand to be tied and her inability to nourish the relationship. She will not be able to nourish the relationship accordingly because you being a control freak, telling her what she could wear, what she can say, how she can say it, this, that, the third, or how her hair should be, and this, that, like, come on. If you don't love the person how you had at first hand, then you don't need to be with that person, period. If you feel that you gotta change them like they're a project, okay, you shouldn't, okay? One thing is good is when you are encouraging them and you are influential and you not interfering with the fact of how they should say things or keeping them stifled, keeping them stuck in the home to where they can't go out and explore, you know, or whatever, without you thinking that another man's trying to take your woman. Like, that's not cool, dude. That's not cool at all. If you trying to just keep her locked into one little bubble and that's your world and you how you want her to be, you know, wrapped around your fingers and stuff like that, that's just not cool at all, point blank, period. Because at the end of the day, what you're causing yourself to get in return is not a housewife or whatever the case might be, but you're causing yourself to have a doormat, okay? You causing a doormat, and then you, on top of that, you go out and you might do whatever it is that you want, don't even respect her at the end of the day, and you end up cheating on her repeatedly. Even though you're trying to shape and mold her into what you want her to be, and you choosing to do all of this other stuff that you're doing. So basically, you creating a shell. And once that shell break and she chooses to move along, she's going to hurt the shit out of you. Meaning, as in, you're gonna get a rude awakening when she chooses to be with somebody who really accepts her and love her for her, okay? So all of that ideology that you put in your head of how you wanted to shape and mold her and control her or whatever the case might be is going to be distorted in your mind, and you're going to be thinking like, shit, what did I do? What did I do? You created a character in your head and you caused her to be a shell, and she broke that shell. She popped that bubble to make you realize that it's not just about you and your world. So you want to be able to be in a healthy relationship to where you accepting each other. And if y'all both want to be able to progress with each other, then that should be a mutual agreement. Okay, give a prime example. If y'all both overweight and y'all say to each other, listen, baby, listen, you know that, you know, you may be overweight, whatever the case might be. I'm this weight, whatever. But guess what? I'm willing to work with you to keep you healthy, and we work together and make you feel confident enough about yourself. And, you know, you giving her compliments and y'all working together. And that's more conducive and healthy for the relationship, opposed to telling another woman that you with, oh, she's fat, or she's this, or that, the third, or she this, or whatever the case might be, she's not this, and comparing her to another woman. That's not healthy, point blank, period, okay? So it should be a thing where you say to yourself, you know what, we're going to grow together, we're going to do this together, okay? And that's how you uphold a relationship, and you take the leadership role in the relationship when you look at that dynamic in that way, and you helping them. You look at to help and influence them in the right and positive way, not in the controlling way where you trying to shape and mold them to your liking. That's just not going to happen. okay? Especially when you feel that they all equate down to just property, and you realize that somebody else took your property away, then what? Then what? Especially if you a territorial man, then what? Okay, so my thing is, you want to be realistic as a man and say to yourself, you know what? This woman has a beautiful soul inside and out, you know, and I can see the potential in them. And all I want to do as a man is highlight that, you know, that feminine part. You know, I know that I'm very masculine, and I just want to highlight more of that femininity quality in her. However way I can do that, I just want to do that. It just, if that's just by me being a, you know, a man, a gentleman, that's going to bring that out, then I'm going to do that. That's how you're supposed to be. And be, and not thinking that, oh, because I'm paying her, you know, bills, or I'm doing this, or she's my property, and I don't have to respect her, I do whatever I want to do. No. Mm-mm. No, because at the end of the day, if you looking for a parent-to-child relationship, that's what you got children for, okay? And then guess what? When you have that desire where you want a woman that you want to be with, it's going to be hard for you to find a woman to be with, because you don't even know how to compromise as a man, because you feel insecure and you need to deal with some insecurities that you feel as a man, point blank period. Okay, and a lot of times with men that are in relationships, some of them try to have a controlling aspect where they're accusing the woman of talking to another man or doing this at the third, when it's really them doing it. And that's another example of a man feeling insecure and having issues. Okay, so yes, that's my thing as far as, you know, a non-progressive relationship, as far as keeping someone trapped inside of a bubble and it being non-conducive to their growth and direction in life. Okay, and last thing but not least, setting healthy boundaries. Whereas you balance out the yin-yang in the relationship, okay? And people, this is just a quote, a statement, where it says, don't cut your nose off to spite your face. Basically, when people feel that they can't deal with something and they want to take flight and they never really deal with the situation and they leave the relationship prematurely, you end up cutting your nose off to spite your face. Point blank, period. You know, when you can't be an adult and deal with a situation accordingly and, you know, just be two mature adults, it's, you know, it causes friction and a discord and division between the two persons when you don't work on the relationship and, you know, work on it to where as you could repair whatever may be broken or whatever the case might be and then move along, you know. However, in most cases, if you have someone who don't want to work on a relationship because of something may have been broken, you know, you have no choice but to move on, you know, because that person may have a valid reason of why they want to leave and so forth. Okay. And then another parable is, don't be the snake that bites its own tail. So in other words, what that mean is that don't always be self-seeking in a relationship as far as what that person could do for you or how the person makes you feel is what makes the relationship or put conditions on a relationship and make it more conducive for you or more convenient for you. Don't be that way, because at the end of the day, if you know you don't have that person's best interest at heart, you basically a snake in a relationship. And what's going to end up happening, because you are that snake and you only care about yourself and your self-seeking, you're going to end up biting your own goddamn tail because you are a snake in a relationship. Okay, so with that being said, I thank you all for listening to The Memoirs of Her. Bye-bye.